Breakfast with Half. It's the Big Yarn. Well, I won't back down. No, I
won't back down. You can stand me up at the gates of hell, but I won't back down. Well, I hope you're backing down, Tom. He was all over that a long time away. He forecast this many, many moons ago. We're not backing down today. I want to talk about Stuart Dew today as part of the Big Yarn. As soon as anyone in football, from a coaching perspective, is vulnerable or is outski, gets the sack or walks away, like Dimmer Hardwick did the other day from the Tigers, the whole football world points to Stuart Dew and says, you're next. I think it's a little bit unsavoury, I must admit, the way it's handled. I know it's a high-pressure situation and it's a dog-eat-dog world out there, but I think Stuart Dew deserves a bit more respect than the football world gives him in these matters. And he's 10 games into a new contract there at the Gold Coast Suns. And as soon as Damien Hardwick announced that he was retiring or walking away for the next little while the other day, the whole conversation turned to Stuart Dew. We've got Andrew McWalter taking over the reins here at the Tigers. We've got Leon Cameron's been already suggested about getting him back at the Tigers. But inevitably, the whole world focuses on the Gold Coast Suns. And for a large degree, there's a reason why that is. And we all know that they've been an underperforming club in the AFL since inception, really. And they have been a bit of a basket case through the journey. But I'm not sure this is the way to go about it. Stewie Dew was asked about this yesterday. He was asked about the Damien Hardwick situation yesterday. And this is his response.
What have you made of the commentary in the last 36 hours since Dimmer handed his resignation in?
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? Well, I feel like we should be celebrating Damien and his contribution to the game, his journey. I certainly think it, 24 hours should have been sufficient to celebrate him. It's become a little bit of a sport as to who's next. So, as you saw, I found it amusing. I text Damien about it. So, I think it is what it is. I'm confident that I'm the coach for this club now and into the future. So, and I think the club's pretty clear that I'm that too. I'm 10 games into a new contract. We've got a playing list that I feel that they've committed to the club knowing I'm the coach. So that connection is strong. I think we've committed to each other. And that's powerful. We've had some lived experiences and we're building this list from beyond scratch, And we never knew how hard it was going to be, but I feel like we're getting through that. And now's the time when we can have a list profile that can start to compete regularly and contend. So that's the exciting part. And for me, I love this club and I think I'm the one to lead it. Simple as that.
It was pretty well handled there by Stewie Dew yesterday. I loved the little start when he was asked the question. The football world has come straight for him. Jason Craigieburn says, not just the football world, Half, not the football world, just the football media. Well, that's effectively the football world, isn't it? The media drives the conversation, and we as the supporters sort of fall in on the back of that more often than not. But I thought it was well handled by Stewie Dew. One thing he's done in the last couple of years is really grow into that statesman role in the world of footy. Now, his club has been relatively disappointing, but his point that I think is overlooked and the impact underestimated is the fact that he's been able to get this next generation of talent at the Gold Coast Suns to commit to the football club. Now, what's a contract worth these days in footy? You could probably ask yourself that question along the way. In terms of free agency and market movement and the way that players sort of just jump out of contracts willy-nilly, so there's an element of that to the conversation. But I think what we've seen is he's been able to get that group and connect it and keep it tight, keep it together in a really difficult landscape up there on the Gold Coast for footy. And tradition says that and history says that for all sports, but certainly from Australian rules perspective. He's been able to do a bloody good job of keeping that group together. They haven't lost too many in the last couple of years. Prior to that, they jumped ship left, right and centre. But I think what Stuart Dew's been able to do is really bring that club together and deserves a bit of respect for that. Now, clearly he's got a job to do from a coaching perspective and they've got to win games of footy and get more respect on the field. But I think he's been a very, very impressive performer off the field, clearly, for the Gold Coast Suns to do what he's done. And I just reckon he'd be jack of all this conversation and probably gets to a point where he moves on and it's water off a duck's back, like Justin Longmuir was saying about Luke Jackson. But I reckon he deserves a bit better, Stewie Dew. No doubt there's pressure on the Gold Coast Suns, no doubt.
and he would be aware of that. But I think, as he said in that little grab, the game is sort of to look at who's next. And I'm not sure that's a nice way to go about it. Not sure that's the way that we should be going about our business. In the media, certainly, and we're a part of that, no doubt. Not looking for scalps, but also from the way that we converse about people in the industry. I'm just not sure it's a healthy way to go about it, considering the challenges and the mental stress that we've found out from all coaches in the last couple of years, and particularly through the post-COVID soft cap challenges that football clubs are facing. And we hear the Adam Simpson scenario at the moment, and the stress and strain he's under. I'm just not sure it's the way we need to be going about that. I think we could probably use a recalibration when it comes to how we deal with this sort of stuff. Anyway, that's my take. Your calls, 1300 652 927, or 0416 90 50 52 at 14 past 7. The other big yarn in footy is injuries. And I'm pretty keen to try and put my finger on, or get somebody to put the finger on it for us, as to why we are seeing so many injured players and such long list of injuries from the clubs, and we're only 10 weeks into the AFL season. So who better to talk to about this than a man who's been on the spot for all sports across the globe, let alone Australian rules football. He's a great mind when it comes to this stuff, and I've been able to get the team to track him down this morning. Dr. Peter Bruckner is the man to speak of. He's on the line on a Thursday morning with us on breakfast. Good morning, Brookie.
Morning, Harv. How you going?
I'm very well. I'm better than the injury lists at the AFL clubs at the moment, and I'm keen to find out why, Brookie. Have you got any indication or assessment of why we're seeing so many players? According to the injury list on the AFL website today, I'm not sure when it was last updated or it's been reduced or increased, there's 153 players from the 18 clubs that are on the injured list. That's a lot, Brookie, when you think there's probably 750, 800 players across the journey of the league. 153 of those are out with injury.
Yeah, traditionally we've always sort of looked at, you know, at maybe up to 20% of players being unavailable at any one time. So it's not sort of inconsistent with that. But I agree, there does seem to be more injuries and certainly more focus on injuries. And when you think about it, it's you know, it's probably not surprising. I mean, the intensity of the game continues to increase dramatically. And the emphasis, I think, on defensive efforts and pressure on opponents and you know, causing turnovers and so on. The game is very much focused on defence, and so you know, I think that probably partly explains why there are so many, you know, sort of contact injuries. I mean, we divide injuries up into sort of, you know, broadly speaking, contact injuries and the non-contact, like the soft tissue injuries and so on. And there doesn't seem to be a big increase in those at the moment. But again, you know, people are training harder. The game is more intense. There's more speed in the game. So, you know, it wouldn't be surprising that were the case. You also just alluded to the soft cap half, and that's not only affected assistant coaches, but it's affected fitness staff and yep. physiotherapists. And, you know, when the soft cap gets increased a little bit, the clubs tend to focus on, you know, more money for assistant coaches, and the physios and fitness staff have been left behind a little bit. So I think that might be a bit of a factor, you know, but there are certain injuries that, you know, we'd like to think are preventable by good training and so on. But there are also a whole bunch of injuries like the concussions that you know, we don't think are really, you know, easily prevented.
So the concussion conversation is probably a slightly separate one, because we are clearly much more delicate with the way we handle that, more conservative with our assessments of that, and players, and pleasingly, our understanding of the need to have a bit of time out when they are in those situations at the moment. So that's probably a part of the reason we've got so many players out at this stage and the way that that's treated. But just on your point about the game and the way the game's played and training methods, do you think that will have to start to evolve, the way that preparation phases of the AFL players will have to be addressed?
Well, it's constantly evolving, I think, and you know, there's always a lot of, you know, discussion and particularly among the sort of the high performance staff, the fitness staff, and so on, about improving fitness, but also improving sort of, you know, one of the big things that Darren Burgess, who's really the doyen of high performance managers, he's now at Adelaide. What he always emphasises is making players sort of resilient to injury, you know, to to getting them to do sufficient work so that they are, you know, injury proof, or, you know, you can't guarantee that, but are less likely to injury. And you know, there's always a lot of emphasis on that in the high performance world. And he does it, you know, as well as anyone. But in particular, you know, that's a big focus on in pre-season to get people, you know, to get them to do the work. And then the problem often occurs when people have interrupted pre-seasons, whether that's through surgery or injury and so on. And if you don't get that sort of that work in the pre-season, develop that injury sort of resistance, if you like, then you're very liable for injury. So that's always a factor. And you often find that clubs that have particularly bad runs with injury have had a lot of people with compromised pre-seasons, that they haven't, you know, developed that sort of injury resistance, if you like.
I'm just looking through Adelaide's list where Darren Burgess is currently out. They've got five on it, but three of those are 1 to 2 away with quad concussion, which we sort of is a bit of a sidebar, and then a knee concern, and two with long-term, sort of 10 weeks plus, so their season's done. So there's not too much you can do with those ones. But you look at the teams that are struggling. I mean, West Coast have got 14, North Melbourne have got 14, the Giants have got 13, Geelong have got 13, Sydney and Essendon have got 11 apiece. Essendon are probably holding up better than anyone with their injury list compared to the other teams. The other ones, unsurprisingly, probably Brookie, are sitting down the bottom of the table.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, we've always tended to think that that the very young and the very old, you know, tend to be more susceptible to injury. You know, that that, you know, young players that haven't got that sort of conditioning, and then the older players are you know, starting to sort of tighten up and stiffen up and have probably had previous injuries. And once you've had previous injuries, you're more susceptible to other ones. So they're sort of two groups that usually clubs focus on in particular. You know, we have so many young, you know, draftees who have significant injuries, don't they, in their first year or two, and they miss a season, or, you know, miss half a season and so on. So that's obviously a concern, but not surprising when the jump from junior football to senior football is massive, both from a load point of view and from an intensity of a game point of view. So that's probably not that surprising. But there's also a fair bit of luck involved.
Let's
be honest. You know, I mean, you can be unlucky. You can get a stray knee to the head, or you know, you can you know, tear your cruciate ligament and so on. You know, that you know, we don't really know why. You know, so many people do that and so on. So, you know, there are a lot of different factors involved. And it's a little bit early to sort of say that, you know, there are more injuries. We do the injury stats each year, and obviously we only have them from the previous season. But by and large, the injury rates are fairly constant over the years. So, you know, there's not been a dramatic increase over the last few years. And often there's a lot of focus, you know, particularly when there's one or two teams that are decimated by injuries. You know, everyone's saying, oh, there's a lot more injuries and so on. But then the stats come out and it actually isn't much of an increase. So I don't think there's been a massive increase, but there's just been two or three clubs in particular that seem to have been really badly affected by injury this year.
Great insight as always, Brookie. Always a pleasure to chat. Take care.
Thanks, Arf. See ya.
Good stuff. Dr. Peter Brooknut with us at 7:20. Let's get to a break. Jack Gunston is not injured. He's flying with the Brisbane Lions, sitting second on the ladder, and he's going to join us after this.